might be fair to say that we all want to know and experience peace in our lives. Would that be fair? We all want to experience peace in relationships. We look for peace that we might have peace in our relationships, in our families and with friends and in the community in which we live. That it's not marred by angst and conflict, but that there might be peace, that we might feel comfortable, have a sense of well-being in those relationships with others. In our national relationships, we go to great lengths to try and find peace. Peace between different groups in our community, different socioeconomic groups, with our indigenous peoples and the other peoples of this nation. There are many examples where we seek peace. In our international dealings, we cry out for peace, don't we? We cry out for peace between nations, between the peoples of the world. As I said before, we go to some length to try and encourage and find that peace, whether it be racial tensions that can be ameliorated or between male and female, men and women, between different people of different cultures, whether it be as a result of historical difference where we try and deal and find reconciliation for things of the past which continue to create enmity and pain and suffering in the lives of men and women. And yet, so often we fail to be able to realise that peace, don't we? And there are disappointments that we don't always, we are, in our own strength, aren't always able to find the solutions to some of those problems that seem so intractable and bring anything but peace to our lives and the world. I think sometimes people seek to find peace in looking into their inner life, inner world. There's no shortage of books on the books stands about self-help, into looking at what might be quasi-religious sort of experience, or looking at meditation and meditative practice. There are many examples of how people seek to find that inner peace within themselves, through an introspection or an approach in looking inward to themselves. And often, sometimes that's helpful, but often people are left still with an emptiness as they seek to find peace. Some people go out into the bush and into nature and seek to find peace out there, don't they? And there are some beautiful places that we can probably think of in our own lives where we've actually gone out into God's good creation and sat there and we felt at peace with the world in a way that maybe we find difficult in the cut and thrust of day-to-day life. The issue is, though, when we come back, we're back in the cut and thrust of day-to-day life. And the peace isn't always lasting that we experience when we sometimes seek it in that place. Some people seek peace through religious observance and ritual, don't they? You've come to church for some peace this morning, have you? And I keep spoiling it, don't I, as I speak to you and talking. But some people seek to find peace there, don't they, in the ritual and the religious observance, the pattern of their life. And that's not a bad thing to do, but peace still seems quite often to be elusive, doesn't it? And hard to be able to experience that deep peace that is lasting. Some people simply live a hedonistic lifestyle, don't they? An indulgent lifestyle. Indulge in all the things that are on offer, and that somehow will bring happiness and peace in their lives. I remember a number of years ago, there was something written about Freddie Mercury, who was the front man of Queen. And he had everything he could possibly buy, or had the capacity to buy anything that he wanted to bring about happiness and peace, and yet peace eluded him and he ended up taking his own life. So that indulgence doesn't seem to have the answer either to being the way that we find happiness and peace. Others live an ascetic lifestyle, self-denial, denying themselves of things. But so often you see people in that sort of situation become cynical or restless, that they didn't really find that peace that they were looking for. It wasn't adequate. It didn't satisfy. And I guess there are other ways that you might be able to add to that list. But it seems to be that people seek peace. They want peace in their relationships. They want peace in, we want peace in our nation. We want peace between the peoples of the world. There's something that's wired into us that desires that sort of peace, that sort of harmony. The witness of Scripture is that that sort of peace, that deep peace, ultimately can only be found in God Himself. Part of the problem, as I think about that, why people don't carry the peace that they find when they go out into nature back with them into their day-to-day lives is that they're seeking peace in the created, not in the Creator. And that so often can be the case. We can be looking for peace in all these places, but ultimately, peace is found in God Himself, because God is the God who desires to give peace. He purchased peace on our behalf at a great cost, we're told in Scriptures, making peace through His Son on the cross, justifying, deeming us righteous before Him, no impediment to our relationship with God Himself, the peace that comes from knowing that we were forgiven, the peace that comes from knowing that we're not guilty, the peace that comes from knowing that we're not condemned by God and not guilty in His sight. It's God's gift, and God's gift and plan has always been for peace. Isn't it? The creation. If you look at the creation story, God created the world that we might enjoy it and that it was a place of peace. There was peace between men and women. There was peace between men, women and God. There was peace in the ordering of the creation, in the way that man would steward the resources of the earth. Not dominate and oppress, but and utilize for their own selfish benefit, but for God's good plan that all might enjoy the blessings that He had. He's God who wanted us to have peace. When Jesus came to us, we're told here that He came to bring peace. The herald of the angels is peace on earth, goodwill to those on whom God's favour rests. That is the desire. That's why Jesus came into the world, that we might have that peace, that we might know that peace. And as you look forward to a time, the eschatological time, the time when Jesus comes again, when all things will be made new, it's a time of peace. The lion will sit with the lamb. I hope there's a lion and a lamb behind me. I'm pointing at it. So that's the prophecy of Isaiah. The lion will sit with the lamb. When all this is completed, there will be peace in all of God's creation, between men and women, between the animal kingdom, in the whole of His creation. So making peace through His Son on the cross. Jesus dealt with the things that separate us, that bring enmity between us. And God offers us His peace. But the peace then overflows. That's the wonder, isn't it? You have to have the source right, and then the overflowing of peace into God's world. And so it becomes transformative as people's lives are changed by knowing the peace of God in their hearts and in their lives. That then overflows into relationships with others. It says one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and it goes on. But peace is listed there as one of the things that God gives to us. Jesus says in His a message to His disciples just before going to Jerusalem to face His trial and His death, He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So Jesus had a perfect relationship with God. His peace came from knowing that he was in such a profoundly intimate relationship with his God and his Father that nothing could get in the way of that, that he was able to bring and to offer a lasting peace for each of us, a deep and lasting peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives. Not as the world gives. But as my Father gives. It was transformative in the days of the early church, and it's still transformative in our world today. When Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, he talks about the peace that comes from putting your faith and trust in God and in Jesus and following in him. And it says Jews and Gentiles are reconciled. Now, there couldn't have been a group that was more separated in the world of Paul's day than Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles had no place in the life of the kingdom as far as the Jews were concerned. They were inferior in all ways, matters spiritual. They were people to be avoided. They were unclean. And here we have in his letter saying, Jew and Gentile are now reconciled. The peace that God brings into his world has created a peace between these previous groups at odds with each other, in enmity with one another. They now worship together. They now live life in community together. And they care and support and encourage one another. In their growth, they are now one in unity under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sort of peace that overflows as people's hearts and lives are changed. So the Gentiles' lives were changed and the Jewish people's lives were changed, and it made all the difference. And surely that's what we pray for in the life of our world, when we often pray for peace. Peace is so tenuous as we try and discover it in our own strength. Just look at the situations in the Middle East at present when we try and have a ceasefire. They just don't hold. The deep and lasting peace comes from people's lives being transformed and changed, knowing the peace that they have with God, and then that overflowing into their relationships with one another. It's a joy to be able to proclaim that message at this Christmas again. It's a joy to be able to be bearers of that message. The prophet Isaiah had that when he said, "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" You see, the peace comes from God reigning in his world. It'll be brought back to that place where it was always intended to be. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Why are they peacemakers? Because they are the children of God. They have the same heart that God has for peace. And therefore we'll reach out. That's you and I reaching out into the world to be peacemakers. To encourage people to come to know that relationship with God, but also that they might see that peace between each other, that we might see peace in the affairs of the nations, that we might see peace in our nation. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Friends, this is good news. There is possibility for peace. God's plan and purpose won't be thwarted. It will come to be. And in the meantime, we are the agents of that reconciliation, of that peace, as we experience that peace in our own lives. Pray that that might be our message and our experience this morning, that we would know that peace, that we might embrace that peace, we might be transformed by that knowledge more and more into the image of Jesus, and that we might be bearers of that peace into our world. that so desires to know that peace, but so often doesn't know how to find it. We have the answer to be able to share with the rest of the world that God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should have life. Surely that's good news to a world often in pain and suffering. And so in the letters we often have Paul remind God's people of that right at the very beginning of the letter. And it's the only verse I'm pulling from the reading this morning. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.